Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans, founder of Marknology, here as today's host of Startup Hustle, covering all things e-com, Amazon, marketplaces, entrepreneurship, you name it. Today, we're going to be talking about streamlining your processes on Amazon, both as a seller and as an agency. Today's guest is no stranger to the show. This is her third time on the show. And before I introduce her, a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode. Hiring software developers is difficult. Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably, and has the platform to help you manage that team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. Like I mentioned, she's already been on the show several times. Vanessa Hung, welcome back.
Thank you, Drew. I'm excited to be here again. I think this is where one of the podcasts that I like the most, because we have that flexibility on talking entrepreneurship more than like what to do on Amazon. Give me a step-by-step. Everybody wants the good content. And today when I was getting to the office, I was driving to the office, I was like thinking about this conversation. And I thought the podcast, in my experience, that have been the most impactful in my life and in my career were not the ones that were tactical. They were the ones that taught me how to think. Mm. And I hope that we can have a conversation that teach people how to think about processes, about business, especially if they are on Amazon, because that's our specialty. I know that you do a lot more, but that's definitely my son of genius. So yeah, I'm excited.
Thank you. I am super excited to have you back. And before we clicked record, I think we could have been talking an hour before we even went live. So we had to start the show somewhere. It's always good to catch up and hear what's happening. You know, first it was Fort Lauderdale. Now you're in Salt Lake, and I think moving soon again to Texas. So I want to share all of that news, but you're always on the go, and it's good to connect with you even virtually. I think it would be great for any of our listeners who might not have heard your first couple of episodes on the show. Just give a quick, intro of who you are, your agency, what you're doing and working on, so people can kind of know where you're coming from.
Perfect. So I am the CEO and founder of Online Seller Solutions, and that's an agency that helps sellers streamline their issues and processes in the back end of Amazon. So we take care of the operation part. That's why my specialty, I said, is the unsexy stuff of Amazon and unsexy stuff of the platform. So all of the processes, how to deal with the platform when the algorithm changes, the systems, and implementing those things that when you think about launching a brand or launching a product on Amazon, that's not the first thing that you're thinking about. Like, you're thinking about product, branding, brand, advertising, awareness, all of that. We do everything else that supports that machine. So like on the infrastructure, the backend stuff. Also, I am a community ambassador for Carbon6. So Carbon6 is an ecosystem of tools that support sellers, online sellers, to get them closer to success. So we have a suite of multiple tools that help in specific areas of the business. So think about inventory management, about advertising outside of Amazon, let's say Google, TikTok, Instagram, you know, all of the Meta products, also inside of Amazon, like PPC advertising on Amazon. We have alerts, we have keyword research, we have reimbursements. So it is amazing because at the beginning, and I got to Carbon6 a year and something ago, and I remember the idea of having something connected and having an ecosystem was nice. And we were like, oh, well, I think that could change the game for a bunch of people in this space. But it was like a goal. Right now, it's a reality. And we are closer and closer to provide an experience that people can go like their one-time stop, and they can get all of the support that they need. And in that, I'm leading a project with the team. I'm not doing this myself, but we have an amazing team of a bunch of talented people. And we're building the most comprehensive audit that the industry has. And it's called the profitability audit. And then we're going to have a second stage, which is the performance audit. So basically, you plug in your brand and you're plugging your business, and we're going to tell you how much money and how inefficient you are. That's something that not a lot of people are doing. And most agencies that offer a service like that focuses more on performance rather than profitability. So we're there telling them like, okay, this is where you're missing money or losing money in your bottom line. And in the performance side, we're telling them like, what is that they can improve to grow their top line. So those things keep me busy. But my favorite project today that I'm working on is bootcamp. So I'm creating an education program for people to learn what I like to do, which is the backend management of an Amazon Seller Central account. And I made that promise to myself 6 years ago when I got into this space. And I said, I am going to teach people. And I think I've been doing that, going to events and, you know, doing public speaking and through my social media, where I'm extremely active posting all of the content that one should have. But this is like an extra level. And I'm excited. I'm testing things. I'm seeing people like it. And yeah, fulfilling that promise is probably the thing that I'm the most proud of right now. It's just cool to see that something that you thought about like 6 years ago, it's coming to life now.
No, I think that's amazing. And there's a whole lot of other things you're doing too. You know, what came to my mind when you talked about that promise was, are you still a host in the Spanish? Okay. So when I met Vanessa, we actually met in Miami, and she was part of Wizards of Ecom doing the Spanish events there and podcast. Yeah. So we'll have to pick that up another time, because I still think that's a big area of opportunity. I know you're still involved there, but that's great. And I honestly really resonated when you were talking about an audit of profitability. I recently did a webinar with Mina, and we broke down a client that was tanking in profitability, kind of live on the show, and really just went into like, you know, how we turned it around in 30 days and what we were looking at, and you know, very tactical in that regard, kind of like a boot camp. But I think that that's the most important area of Amazon. You know, as an agency owner, I realized quickly that I could grow sales performance wise for brands and businesses and Amazon sellers all day, but if they were not aware of their numbers, of their profitability, of their expenses, of where they're losing money or could be better or more efficient, it's only a matter of time until that client realizes, you know, exactly where they are positioned, and you know, in services with us. So as an agency owner, I'm always thinking about, well, one, I just like doing the right thing. Okay, two, that's meanings having a profitable business. But number two, is I need to help these sellers, these brands really understand their numbers on Amazon. And it starts with profitability. We don't even work with brands now where we don't have that look into their profitability. There's just no way we can really truly give them good advice or help them navigate the challenges that are Amazon with things changing without that. So I love to hear that that's coming from Carbon Six. As listeners to the show know, I was privileged to have Justin Cobb tell his story of why, you know, he founded Carbon Six and why Carbon Six is here in the marketplace and kind of the, hey, we're here, e-commerce, Amazon world, we're here, we're going to do some big things. I think that was over a year ago. And so today to see what they're doing is really awesome. So I know you're working on the boot camp, teaching people even at a higher level, what goes into like streamlining your processes and flat files and the backend catalog and all of those things. Before the show started, we started talking about, entrepreneurship and being an agency owner and this difference between like growth mode and lean mode. And it's something that I talk about all the time. People can call it different things. But for me, it's this period of like just, when you're running, I don't know if anyone's a runner on the show, but like when you're running downhill and you're going as fast as you can and it starts to feel like your feet just can't keep up. Like you're just like, I don't even know if I'm moving my legs. They're just like going. And it's just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up or if I'm going to fall down flat on my face. And it's this weird just in between of going maybe faster than you've ever gone before and feeling uncomfortable with it. And I think that can happen a lot of times in an Amazon business, sure. But as an agency that runs Amazon businesses, a machine built to run Amazon brands and businesses, there's this period of like, is this going to end? When do I get into lean mode? And how to get your mindset right for those different modes? I know for us, you can't be half on the fence all the time. You can't be half in, an Amazon brand comes and you're like, okay, what are our goals? Like, what are your KPIs? What do you really want to achieve working with Marknology, on Amazon? And they'll be like, well, I want to grow sales and get more profitable and lower returns. And, they pick like, the holy grail. And I oftentimes have to tell them, well, that's great in theory, but in actuality, what I believe is more productive and a better way to focus our time is to be all in on growth or all in on leaning and optimizing. A lot of times if you're growing at a fast speed, there is a lot of waste. There's just a lot of waste because you're not nitpicking every little thing. You're making decisions quickly. You're hiring and firing. You're saying yes to things because you don't have 3 weeks to analyze them. And you're just moving as fast as you can. And so to be doing things like that and then to overanalyze all of your decisions like you would in a lean mode or looking to clean things up is just not very productive. I want to pass it back to you with this question. Like, talking about the boot camp and the workshop and your team, I would say that you guys are definitely in a growth mode right now with this new initiative. And, how is that sitting well with the team? How do you feel in those moments? Like, is it something that you tell them there's light at the end of the tunnel? How do you navigate that with your agency?
Yeah. So I had a conversation. I was telling you this before we started. I had a conversation with my team yesterday and they were like, we're drowning. FYI, we're drowning. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm very well. Everybody's drowning, but we are in a position, and I was giving this analogy, like we are in the ocean and we're drowning. But if we don't keep swimming, the sharks will eat us. It's too late. It's too late to say like, oh, let's go back to a ship. There is no ship anymore. Like, we keep swimming or we're going to die. And I like that mentality in certain stages of the business because you need that push. You need that fire to go through things that, again, you thought about 6 years ago and now you're making it happen. I knew since I had that thought, I knew that it was going to take a lot of resources. It was going to take a lot of time. It was going to take a lot of people. That wasn't a surprise. But I believe that as a leader, we need to be very transparent with the team, saying like, we're going to go into this phase. We're going to go into a time where work-life balance probably won't be there. You will probably be putting extra hours. But when we end this, there is a reward. Right. Like, and you can pick your reward. Like I told him, like, well, there's obviously a compensation. Like if you need a week off, you take a week off. Like there is a bunch of things that you could do. But the cool thing is that with the agency or with your own business, you have that flexibility. Right. And I also think that is the responsibility of the leader to be transparent, but also like try not to push them. Or try not to keep people in that growth mode all of the time. And I think that that's part of this hustle culture, you know, grind forever and sweat and bleed and, you know, cry. It doesn't matter. You're going to grow. At one point, I realized that I don't like that. Like, I don't think that's sustainable. Mm. We need to stop sometimes. And you know, stopping not because I don't want to keep growing and I don't want to keep succeeding, but sometimes being like calm, give you perspective and where you want to go. And you mentioned something very important is like when you're in growth mode, you're saying yes to everything because you don't take 3 weeks to analyze it. And if we are there all of the time and we keep putting stuff in our plate, then we could end up in a place where we didn't want to go, right? So I try to balance that in the agency. And on the other part, working on the profitability part side for brands, one thing that I realized and the shift happened because a lot of like the economical, you know, environment and everything that is happening in the world, in America, is telling people it's not as easy to borrow money anymore. Mm-hmm. So if you don't take care of your cash flow, if you don't take care of your profitability numbers, you're not going anywhere. So I guess that in 2018, a brand could spend $1 million just to get market share. But losing at 30%, right? Like losing 30% on that. Right now, that's not possible because they don't have that same cash flow coming in or infusion or investments. So they cannot justify the growth at any cost, right? So those are the things that I like to... It taught me a lot building this profitability audit is asking myself the question, if I'm growing... how much is this costing me, right? Because if I'm putting the mental health of my team and the hours and the sweat, cry, tear, all of it, is this worth it, right? And that's a question. For me and the project that we are leading right now, it is obvious that the answer is yes. But there are some other circumstances that the cost, the damage is too high to justify the growth, right? So as a brand and as an agency, I really think that we need to ask ourselves that. Like, is this growth worth it? And is this cost low enough to justify the pain? Because growth is painful. Mm-hmm. And I like it. And that's what, you know, give you like the evolution mode and you become a better human and a better business and a better leader and a better, you know, team member, partner, whatever. Like you need to go through those phases, but sometimes it takes too much out of you. And when you go to the other side of the growth, it's like, oh, all this pain for this? Was it really worth it? So yeah, I'll lead with that question always. And then finding the tactical things, like what are the changes that you're going to do now to your business? Specific things like, oh, do I need to take care of more of my profitability? Do I need to see if the margins of the things that are coming back from Amazon are good? Like, should I make a removal or should I just leave it there, liquidate it, make the product not returnable? Like, what are the decisions that you're going to take? But everything comes from that question. Like, is it worth it? Right.
No, I love that. And beautifully said. A couple of things came to mind was, at least for me in 2023, these modes have switched quickly. So, you know, it has, you know, for me since 2020, it's been growth mode, almost a growth mode for 2020. I mean, as far as Marknology, has been every year being in growth mode, but in seasons of that, 2020, 2021, 2022, a blitz toward e-commerce and Amazon, just absolute craziness. And being one of the more experienced agencies in the space, we've seen a lot of different things, a lot of different problems, a lot of different brands. You know, we were in high demand. 2023, I think, is really where the economy is seeing those costs of goods finally get adjusted, those shipping rates get adjusted, and it could happen overnight. So, you know, what we saw, like I was talking in that webinar, the cost of goods changed, and it happened so quickly. Like 2 months later is where we really saw the profitability hit. And it was because we saw like a almost 100% increase in our cost of goods on an item. It doubled. And this was not even during the pandemic with the containers. This was after the fact. You know, people are adjusting to inflation and the economy and things like that. And so we had to go from not even being in a crazy growth mode, but to even slow down more and be like, okay, we have to right the ship right now. We have to be in a lean mode and figure out, how do we adjust? Do we raise prices? Do we negotiate with suppliers differently? Do we stop these different maybe growth things that we're trying, Google Ads, TikTok, you know, different things like that, and go back to the basics? You know, what are those things? And I think as you go through different growth modes and lean modes, you start to realize when it's changing. But for me, some of the hardest part can be, you know, there's no like recipe or map or guide that says you're in a growth mode, you're in a lean mode, you're in a growth mode, you're in a lean mode. So there's always this limbo in between them when you're like, okay, where should I be focusing as a leader? Okay, let's get better as a team. Let's get our processes better, our systems, our automations, time for me to learn and just improve what I have. Or should I be out there hunting new business, new employees, new vendors, new partners? And there's no one telling you that. And there, you know, if you're following what everyone else is doing, you're behind because you're not leading the way. You're behind. So for me, that becomes one of the hardest things, is knowing if it's not intentional. Meaning, you set out like, I'm going to plan this workshop, I'm going to build this boot camp, I'm going to do this boot camp, we're going to do it. You know, you intentionally went into it. Sometimes these growth modes happen without you even intentionally saying we're in this mode. And for me, one of my biggest stressors as a business owner and agency owner has been to not overwhelm the team. Like our, and I say overwhelm as in like, they can only sustain growth mode so long. And, you know, but how do you get out of that? Well, you're like, well, when we get this in place and this in place and this in place and this account manager gets trained, and we get rid of these bad clients that take up a lot of your time and this, like maybe we'll have for air, you know, we can get some air and get some rest. But there's not always just an easy, like a date that says like, okay, August 1st, we're going to have the boot camp and it's going to be done. And, you know, we're going to live or die on August 1st with that boot camp. And so I run a lot of the sales here at Marknology. And I think a lot of times the sales team that pushes growth and the account team that manages and has to execute can be misaligned at a lot of companies. And so one thing I've tried really hard to do to be aware of that when I need to switch modes is just staying super plugged in to the people doing the work, and not just being a salesman all the time, selling. Yes, 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 yes. And then not communicating. It's like the head's not communicating with the body, so to speak. So I'm in a phase right now where I'm just bringing my communication up internally between all of the employees and my teams. Like, you know, I'm trying to talk to every employee once a week. So for me, it's a big step. You know, it's not so hard when there's five of you or 10 of you. We're in the 30s now on our team. And, you know, it doesn't have to be this long thing, but, you know, just trying to take a step from focusing on visionary stuff and instead making sure I'm nurturing the team and making sure that everyone's heads above water, so to speak.
Yeah. Now that you said it that way, I don't think as an entrepreneur, you're ever not growing. But the growth happened in a different way. So, for example, when we were talking and we said growth mode and lean mode, I think growth mode is growing from things that happen on the outside. More opportunities, more business, more clients, more events, more awareness. The lean mode is growth that happens internally. So let's say that when you are in lean mode, quote unquote, you are growing your processes. Your account managers get better. Like your communication gets streamlined. Like there is no waste of resources. So to ask, like, is that growth? To me, it is totally. So that's where you said, like, where is the line, right? When you are like in growth to the outside and growth in the inside, you never stop growing. But the focus sometimes changes from being external to internal. So how does that look for a brand? Let's say that when you launch, you need to be in a growth mode. You need to be targeting the market. You need to be growing your customer list. You need to be attacking social media. You need to go and doing all of the advertising that you can do, right? But then when you get to that point, you then need to go back and say, like, okay, what are my employees doing? Can I renegotiate things with my supplier? Can I become more profitable? I think that's also growth, because you're growing your bottom line, not your top line. So two differences there, differences. And I think it's very important, because when I talk about it, and, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, the hustle culture, and you cry until you die, and you work until you die, you never sleep, you never stop. That's where I disagree, because there are some times that you need to stop and look inside and start growing things inside. And those things are sometimes the most difficult ones, because you can always put a higher bid on your campaigns, right? Like, you can always acquire a customer for $1,000, and that's amazing. But how can you make your employee more efficient? That's hard, right? But it's growth. So yeah, reflecting into that, and if you're saying, okay, the external growth, how much is that costing me? Like, how much am I neglecting for things that are outside? And growing outside is sometimes the most attractive thing, because that's where you see the little shiny things, mm-hmm. right? And you lose the focus. So, yeah, now that you said it that way, I don't think that there is a – I don't think you ever stop growing until you literally are – like, you know, closing the business or going out of business. That's the case. Like that's a completely different scenario. But if you're still, like, you have that entrepreneurship fire, you should be growing internally or externally. Both look different.
I love that. And before I go on to the next part, a shout out again to our sponsor, Fullscale.io. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit Fullscale.io. We can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. So one thing I was thinking about is, like, some practical examples of, because we're calling it growth in lean mode, but really it's growth external and growth internally. And like internally, what that can look like is, instead of running Google ads or going to conferences as an agency owner and in sales, instead of paying for Google advertisements to grow business or going to conferences or speaking events or things like that. And there's nothing wrong with those, but it can look like instead spending those dollars on a coach for a certain area of your business. Or, I've got an agency coach that's working with me and my sisters right now, the leadership team that, you know, we get on several calls a month. We've got Slack access. We're getting coached on some of the areas in our business that we're struggling with or we need some help. I've got a coach an M&A coach right now. I'm going through courses to learn more about mergers and acquisitions and exiting a business in case I want to sell brands that we're building or any number of things. I've also got a coach for my sales team. We're getting coached on outbound marketing and outbound leads and how to nurture them and how to go out and hunt you know, for businesses that you want to work with. So those are three practical like coaches that I have in my business right now. And those are dollars spent investing into the business. But it's more of an internal growth. It's like getting a personal coach at the gym. You know, that's something for yourself to help your body and mind, versus like, you know, clothing that might go on that body, right? Which is like apparel or fashion. And I really like how we've kind of framed that. And there's things that you can do inside your Amazon business as well. So, you know, you can be trying to spend advertising PPC and go out there and acquire new customers and top of funnel. Or you can work on improving the things that you already have in place. Like you said, like maybe you're getting a content refresh, or you're bringing some talent into your team by hiring somebody that knows more than your current team, hiring an agency to come in and work on your business. There's a lot of ways to not just streamline, but optimize and grow internally. And I think there are different, for me, the internal work can be very difficult. Like I love it and I love my business because it's forced me to do that, but it's one that doesn't come easy. I'm very opinionated. I can be stubborn. I think about things all the time, so I have strong opinions on them when challenged. And I find it just very difficult versus going and trailblazing a new area with a machete, so to speak, and being like, oh, let's go check this out and see what this can do for us, is a lot easier for me than the opposite.
Yeah, especially because when you get out of, let's say, your coaching or your training, there is no dashboard. There is no Andrew dashboard that says like, you know what? You increase 3 points in your IQ, right? When you go in the growth mode, it's like, oh, I have $300,000 more in my pipeline. We're growing the business 10x, whatever, you know? And that is the thing that I like the most, and what I call on Amazon the unsexy stuff. Like the things that you still need to do in order to grow, but you don't want to do it because they don't look sexy. They don't look appealing. And it's like going to a coach or having a coach is the perfect example. Like after being, I don't know, 6 months, 3 months, a year, getting out of that, you are a completely different person. But how can you measure that? Like, how can you say, I am like 5 times better, or I am, you know? So that's probably why it's not appealing and why most people struggle, because they don't see obvious progress, right? So that is difficult. But as an entrepreneur, it is probably the most important part of the business, is if you're not growing in those invisible ways, you will die. Like as a machine of ideas, as a leader, you need to invest in yourself and in your team. That's so, so, so important. And going back to the agency work, sometimes making a team more efficient and giving them the tools. So this is where streamlining the processes on Amazon. Maybe a year ago, I met a lady that had a boutique agency, and she was basically giving financial analysis for e-commerce brands. So I saw her work, and it was actually pretty nice. Like the dashboards or the reports that she was building, they were like interesting. But then I asked myself, like, this is work that a software can do, and this is data that an owner and a founder should analyze, right? So those are the things of like, should I spend 3 months teaching my team or hiring somebody to do these dashboards that a tool provides? So it happened in my business. We didn't have a CRM until very recently. And we tried to build a CRM on ClickUp, which is our project management software, whatever. And we tried to do that, and it kind of worked. It was kind of like, you know, a little bit uncomfortable, but then we're like, no, we need something new. And I jumped on a CRM that I thought it was great, not naming names, but we thought it was gonna be great. I thought that it was gonna solve all of our problems. We got into the CRM, terrible. Like, it actually complicated a bunch of things in a way that I wasn't even close to imagine. So that's when you say, like, if you don't take the time to see where you're growing, then you start making decisions to just like being in the rush of maximizing that efficiency. Like, I need my team to be more efficient. I need a CRM. I need them to have everything automated. And right now we are stuck with something that is not useful for us. So same thing with any area of the business that you can think of. Take the time to see what's the best path to grow. Because for your sales team, for example, you said like they have a coach that are training them on outbound. Like, that's a great decision because you're investing in your team, in your employees, and they see that as a value. But another decision that could be valid as well is hiring somebody that is already an expert, right? But maybe that doesn't align with your values or doesn't align with your goal because you're adding more into your, you know, system, into your company. So one more employee versus a tool or one more employee versus a coach, those are the things that we really need to be very careful. And nowadays that I believe the whole world is in a lean mode because it's not as easy to borrow money. It's not as easy to say like, yeah, for sure, let's hire another person or let's launch the other product. It's not, those decisions should not be taken lightly. Not anymore, at least for now.
I'm definitely a person that's more comfortable going slower. I love hard work. I love work. I love to work. It's always been in my blood. I don't know if I'm just from farmers or what the case is, but like, I love to work. I don't love to be rushed and I don't love to make decisions hastily. So the growth mode is not, the external growth mode is not my natural default setting, so to speak. I can do it. I can try to keep up. But I feel like my job as the founder, as the CEO, still here at Marknology, I wear a lot of hats. But my job is to make as many good decisions as possible. My job is to make decisions. And if of those decisions, if I can make a lot more good ones than bad ones, I'm doing a good job as a leader. And so if that's the output that I'm looking for, then what are the inputs that make me a better leader that can make me better decisions? Is it being more educated in certain areas? Is it having coaches? Is it having data that helps me make better decisions? Is it having better mental health? Yes. Is it being surrounded by yes and no people, people that are going to give you good advice? You know, is it reading books and, you know, and not more knowledge like that? Is it going to boot camps? For me, it's I'm making better decisions if I'm in a place where I can do all the other things that make me calm in the face of adversity. So if I'm able, you know, I can, some of my best work has been done in chaos. Like, I'll be honest with you, like, you know, because I was just in the right mindset to be able to handle that chaos, so to speak, if that makes sense. Just calm.
Yeah.
You know, making good decisions. But I think when we make mistakes in these modes, it's because we're just not equipped to be making decisions quickly and hastily. So when you're talking about really just taking a step back and thinking, okay, what's the best move for my business? What's the best move for my team? What's the best move for me? How do I get in that spot? For me, it was over the last year going to less conferences and getting my physical health back in shape, getting to the gym, eating better, more home-cooked meals, better rest at home, being around my family, my dog, just routine. For a couple of years since the pandemic, once it opened up, it was just like conference, speaking event. And I just didn't, I felt like I was just running on autopilot instead of like from a place of like being grounded as a leader, you know? So for me, that was an action step I took, whether it was the right one or not. I think it was the right one. But it was like, what are the things you got to do to put yourself in a position to make the best decisions? Whether you're in grow mode or in internal grow mode. For me, the internal grow mode just feels like 10 times the work. It's slower, but it's essentially picking at all the areas that you know you have weakness instead of focusing on strengths, which is usually like that growth mode. You're really just pushing where you guys are winning. But one thing I found, I'm going to turn the conversation just a little bit here. for me, it's been when you're like, where's I going with this? When you're pushing, you're like, you're growing. You're in like growth mode. Then you switch into lean mode, which I think everyone's in lean mode or in this like internal mode. How can we look inward? That's why some of the agencies are struggling, because as the companies are like, okay, where can we cut costs? Where can we lean up? They're like, okay, let's get rid of this coach. Let's get rid of this agency. Let's get rid of this outsourced team. And that can be problematic. But for me, it's when you're in that switch, you lose momentum in growth. You can lose momentum when you start something new. So you're looking outward, and then you're saying, okay, I want to start leaning out inwardly, or growing inwardly. There's not momentum. You're starting from scratch again a lot of times because you haven't been focused here and you've switched focus. And so coming in and out of those different areas, those different modes, those different mindsets, for me, the hardest thing and the thing that I'm focused on and the thing that I'm always trying to get going is momentum. Whether that's momentum with the team to buy into the new stuff we're trying, the new systems, the coach, get momentum with this new system we're doing, this new CRM, get momentum with, our book club or at the gym, with physical health, whatever it can be. Momentum is a very big thing, specifically when it comes to sales. So for me, some of that work is, so we put the brakes on new business, new brands with Marknology for a while. We had a waiting list, never completely paused, but was definitely pushing less because we were just overwhelmed. We had so much business. Put a pause, slowed it down, and now it's getting the machine going again. Getting that mindset, getting that hunter's mindset instead of that that professor's mindset, so to speak, of like trying to teach and learn. Now I'm trying to get back out there and hunt and find the brands we want to work with. So just being transparent in this moment, essentially of like, the difficulties around switching modes and the things to be mindful of. And my focus, if you're saying, what are you trying to get, Drew? I'm trying to get momentum in growth mode. So does that make sense with you in regards to like, yeah, kind of how I explain that?
Yeah. And also I will say that sometimes even when we have speed or, you know, because I think that you're referring to momentum as acceleration, right? Like that, like getting going fast, super fast. But I know you for a while now, and I have never seen you in a below 10 speed mode. Like, and sometimes when you're in business, you don't realize, it's like when you drive a car, like you're driving and you, if you're not paying attention to how fast you're going, then you realize at one point that you've been like 100 miles an hour, and you don't realize because you're inside of the car. Like, it's very hard, if you have a good car, I guess, you don't realize how fast you're going, right? So that is something that we should keep up having steady. Like, can the car drive itself at a certain speed at all times, so we never stop? And probably that doesn't seem like growth, but it definitely is not slowing down. Like, it's not shrinking. But acceleration on the other side is that, oh, that's a growth mode. How can we go faster? What are the things that I need to put in my car to make it go faster? Is it a turbo? Is it a oil change? Is it a new pilot? Like, you should pay attention to those things. And the other thing you mentioned, which is very important, and I learned this from Carlos Alvarez from Wizards of Ecom, was the decision journal. And I think that's a powerful tool as an entrepreneur. A decision journal is to write down, or I mean, there, I guess that there is a very structured way to do it. What I got out of it and the way I use it is just writing down every day the decisions that I took throughout the day. Like, what was that I told my team in that meeting? What was the thing that I decided to do? Like, things as obvious or as simple as like, did I skip lunch or did I eat lunch? Like those things. And then when you go back in your week or your month to review, you can pinpoint the date where you're like, oh, this is where everything went uphill or downhill, right? And you said something like, as a leader, we need to make more good decisions than bad decisions. And I don't know if that's super obvious for people until they are literally in the end result. So if they see that check that's coming in, like, I don't know, 10x their business, oh, that was a great decision. But then if they are in a legal sue or a process because something went wrong with a client, then, oh, that was a bad decision. But I think that we should, as leaders, we need to be better at noticing those faster. So you, one thing that I am very, very afraid as an individual, as a person, but also as a leader, is like making bad decisions and not being able to get out of it. Because sometimes bad decisions are like it goes in ripple effects. Like one bad thing then gets you in a bad mood, and then it gets you in a bad mood with the team, and then your team is frustrated. And if your team is frustrated, then the work is bad, then nobody hires you. So it's just so bad. Same thing, I can say the same thing with good decisions. You make good decisions and you can just like increase acceleration. But having that journal was a powerful thing that I learned from Carlos, and I'm very grateful for that. If somebody wants to check that out, like just Google, like a decision journal. And also one thing that I'll say, Drew, and it's because I'm crazy about it, like, and my life is running a lot with that, to make processes better. It's just AI. I don't know how much you're implementing AI in your business, but if you're looking to find one single thing that could 10x your productivity or help you take better decisions or make better processes for your team or create better agreements with your clients or your suppliers, to go to ChatGPT. I love it. It's been great for us. Like, obviously you need great inputs. Like if you don't put a good input, then you are getting terrible, output. But that has helped me a lot to kind of being more efficient, and I don't know. I feel that it's like having an external brain, and I'm getting smarter because I could make faster and better decisions with it. I don't know if you use it at all, but if I don't know if you ever talk about this in the podcast, but AI is one thing that I'm paying a lot of attention and
100%. And I know it's big in the industry. I mean, it's like getting shoved down our throats in a lot of ways, but I think it's because it's exciting. It's really exciting. It's got some wrong information about me out there. I don't know how to correct the AI, but I need to. I've asked it some questions. I use it a lot as a sounding board, to edit some of my writing, or give me feedback on my writing, or some simple contracts for things I didn't have before. Like, you know, if I'm moving into something new, it can kind of, whereas maybe I would get stuck for an hour or two trying to learn something that's like pointless, the AI is just, you know, so we're definitely using it in our PPC and in our SEO already as a team. But for me, more so, using it as I'm coming up with, let's say, writing case studies or hard emails that I want to soften up, and I'm just scared to write it up. So not completely AI, but really taking kind of what I've done and then just giving me feedback on it without needing to stop one of my other team members or my sisters or someone else that has a lot of stuff. So it's been pretty cool, and I know it's just going to get better. Paul Barron is doing some fun things, and we've been chatting back and forth just about some of the stuff that he's building and playing with. And he's got a think of it like it's got a lot of his writings all in there, and so it's really talking like him, which is pretty crazy. So I know the potential of it. We're running up on time, and I could talk to you forever about this stuff, especially agency stuff. Building a business, being an entrepreneur, this stuff is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart, so to speak. So running a team and running humans, I say running humans as like, you've got humans in your business. You're not just a software. You've got real people to think about with real problems, real families, real lovers, real partners, real needs. You know, it adds complexity to everything you're doing. Not everything is robotic. So, for me, it just starts down to having relationships with the team and with vendors and getting back to the basics of what those are and talking to them and then making decisions around those conversations. You know, and that could be like, hey, what's the problem here? Okay, let's put focus on this process because this team member is like hating this part of his job and we can make it easier if we put some focus on it or something like that. So it's really just breaking things down into a level that, you know, you're able to see from a bigger perspective and say, hey, how can we make this just a little bit better? How can we streamline? How can we get, you know, our partners, our team, our own self, our own focus, you know, better dialed in. I want to leave this with this podcast with a couple of questions. One, I know you're working on the boot camp, but what is something else in your business that you're excited about that you're working on? And then personally, something that you're working on this year that you're excited about as well.
Oh, okay. Besides the boot camp, with AI, we are trying to build some automation, some kind of a software. I've always wanted to go into software. I think the way you could scale really, really fast is just having software. So playing around with AI, helping us build a software that can work internally and is perfect to eventually take it out to the public and say like, hey, we built this. That's exciting. And it's taken a lot of resources and a lot of mental energy to build that because honestly, if you're thinking that AI will solve all of your problems, not really. As you said, like it can help you tweak your input and it could help you clean it up, but not really build something for you. So you still need to put the work. So that on the business side, I think that we're gonna go get to that goal faster. So what took me 6 years to build and on the education side, probably will take me maybe less than a year to build it with AI and launch this, you know, piece of software. And on the personal level, well, moving to a new city, that's always a challenge. I've been doing that for, you know, the past couple of years. So I'm very excited. Austin, Texas, it's been my favorite city since I first went there for my birthday in 2021. Yeah, it's just that place that I think is magical, and I don't know why. I don't know how to explain it, but I feel that I belong there. So I'm just going to go check it out and see what happens. Hopefully, next time we meet, it will be there, and that will be the place that I stay for a while. Let's see.
So I love it. I love it. Win or lose, Austin is an amazing place. I think you're going to have a ton of fun there. I know the last, I think it was a Carbon 6 event, Q4 kickoff event there in Austin. It was packed. We had rented out the bar and it was absolutely packed. It was a lot of fun. I barely even got to talk to everyone. It was a really good turnout. And I just hadn't seen anything outside of Miami or New York that was really you know, well attended, and it was an awesome event there. So I think having a community is a big part, you know, of being successful too, having a good community you can lean on. Okay. So as we sign off, where can people, contact you if they're interested in the boot camp? Where can people follow you along, with your content on social media? How can people get in contact with you?
Yeah. So the website of the agency is onlinesellersolutions.com. And if you go to the website, you could see there in the menu, we have an education tab. So that will redirect you to the bootcamp or go to onlinesellersolutions-bootcamp. There's where you find information. Social media, we put a lot of effort into Instagram to make things that look pretty, but sometimes are not the most valuable as far as content. Like, it looks pretty, right? And that's what people use Instagram for, to just, you know, see appealing things. My favorite one is LinkedIn. So on LinkedIn, we're there extremely active, posting all of the news, all of the changes, all of the algorithms. So that's Vanessa Hong. And yeah, if you want to email me, ask a question, or, you know, learn more about what we do, just kind of email me to Vanessa@onlinesellersolutions.com. And yeah, thank you so much, Drew, for the time. I love it.
Of course, Vanessa. Do you have a speaking event on the calendar?
Yeah, I'm leaving to Chicago for the Econ Summit on July 30th, I think. I'm leaving on the 30th, but I think it starts on the 31st for everybody. And then 31st or 1st, I don't know. July has 31st? Well,
yeah, it does.
Well, that weekend or that week. And then I have one in Jersey at the end of April. And so far, that's all of the ones that I have in person. But, you know, I'm always doing like virtual webinars and going into YouTube channels that are important. That's where I believe we impact the most amount of people. And I sometimes I prefer those more on the content side and the impact. In-person events are to build relationships, but
100%. Thank you. I just want to give a shout out. I think she said the end of April. She meant the end of August. Scott Needham with Smart Scout. That's his software. He's a great guy in the space. And that was the one in Jersey, I think. So anyway, you guys can contact Vanessa if you want more details. Thanks again for being on the show. Thanks again to our sponsor, Fullscale.io. They have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit Fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions, then let the platform match you up with fully vetted, highly experienced team of software engineers, testers, and leaders. At Fullscale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit Fullscale.io. Thank you, hustlers. Thank you, Vanessa. We'll see you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.